This is what you call a big, giant F you to tax-paying citizens of the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Biden has just offered to hand over $39 billion of your money to those that decided to go to college but can't pay back their student loans. This is like in defiance, shall we say, of the Supreme Court decision that came out most recently, saying that you can't do this because you see it's unconstitutional. Doesn't matter to him. We're going to talk about that. Plus, his plans to send 3,000 more reservist troops, calling up the reserves to send to other parts of the world. It's not yet clear, but we know what's going on over in Europe. We're going to discuss that. And a little update for you on Dylan Mulvaney, who's been hanging out in Peru. And another company that seems to be joining this whole trans movement, they somehow think it's good for business. And you know what? It may be, considering that Miss Netherlands is now competing in Miss Universe and is someone who was originally born as a male. Anyway, Maybelline is all into this trans thing and, you know, men wearing red lipstick and all kinds of nifty things like that. What is the world coming to, right? I mean, but we got to start with the headlines here. First, on Joe Biden's FU to the Supreme Court and the United States taxpayers. Welcome to the program, everyone. I am Trish Regan. Portions of the show are brought to you by LegacyPMInvestments.com. Legacy Precious Metals. Go check them out there at LegacyPMInvestments.com or give them a ring. The number's right there on the screen. We'll talk about it some more later. But first, one of the reasons you might be worried about things like inflation, one of the reasons you might be worried about your portfolio in the future and whether or not you're going to have enough money is because you have such a spendthrift government. You have a government that is looking to effectively just use all of us so that they can get elected again. You see, there's a group of people, a constituency, that doesn't really like Joe Biden so much. It tends to be a lot of young people. And young people are struggling, of course, because they've taken on all this debt. We all know about it because, you see, the universities, well, they just keep raising prices. There's no accountability, et cetera. Young people keep signing on the dotted line and consequently wind up owing a lot of money and yet have no skills because, you know, they're too busy studying philosophy. Nothing against philosophy. Very interesting field to study. But, you know, you're not exactly going to get the plum job coming out with a bachelor's degree in some of these things, especially from some of these schools. So people take on all this debt. Young people take on all this debt. And somehow it's everybody else's responsibility now to pay for it, even though the Supreme Court of the United States of America just said the other day, hey, it's unconstitutional, buddy. You can't spend nearly $500 billion forgiving all this debt. You can't wave a magic wand. I mean, if I were Biden, I would actually start demanding more from the universities themselves. And one ought to ask more of the students themselves that are going there and getting degrees in things like gender studies and then suddenly find that they can't get employed. Or by the way, these days, maybe they don't want to be employed, right? Because nobody seems to want to work, whole other issue. Well, if you don't want to work, or maybe you can't be employed because you don't have the right skill set and you don't want to work as a plumber, because by the way, that's a great job and you don't need to go to college for it. But you know, you get all these people thinking they're better than that. They can't do that. They don't want to do that. So they go to college, they get these nifty degrees, they sign on the dotted line, and now we pay $39 billion. That is how much Joe Biden is writing the check for. You know, the interesting thing about this is 80% of Americans that don't have any loans at all, they're the ones that are actually footing the bill. So the people that paid their loans in time, or the people that chose a vocation like plumbing, like being an electrician, like being a truck driver, now somehow they're being penalized. This is their money that you're taking to hand out to people who have all these degrees. I mean, it's pretty appalling stuff. I thought this was already ruled unconstitutional just, 2 weeks ago. And apparently he's finding some kind of workaround here. There are sources within the administration that say, look, this is an absolute must. We have to do this, they're saying. We have to do this. It's like a non-starter. You see why? It's because they're trying to recruit all these younger voters and they can't get them. And you know what? They're never going to get them. Let's face it. Like he's not the guy. And it's not even his age. I mean, that may be part of it. But Bernie Sanders got the young people. Remember the Bernie Bros, et cetera? Bernie Sanders, because, well, there was a little compassion in what he said. There was certainly passion in what he said. And the guy has been a broken record. I mean, say what you want about him. I personally don't like anything about him and do not like his policies, as you well know, one single bit. However, he's been consistent and he's been singing the same tune for at least 50 years, like Joe Biden. But Joe Biden's all over the place, right? He sings whatever tune is appropriate at the moment. And right now it is to forgive, to get the headline, right? He wants that loan forgiveness headline. It's only $39 billion. It's not the $430 billion that he wanted, but still it's $39 billion of your money, of taxpayers' money. The people that are responsible, the people that try to do the right thing, they're the ones penalized. And that's something to think about. I mean, it is a giant F-U to America. Kind of like, dare I say, Bud Light's giant F-U to America. Bud Light, with their marketing expert that told us somehow, you know, they didn't want those fratty guys anymore. They didn't want the core beer drinkers. They weren't worth the attention. Somehow they had to go out on a limb and hire Dylan Mulvaney, which just blew up in their face, blew up in Dylan's face, and really caused everybody to question where their loyalty to a brand might be. Here is Dylan Mulvaney, who says Dylan had to go to Peru, to Machu Picchu, to actually feel safe. Watch.
Hi, is this an okay time? Okay, surprise, I'm in Peru, and I'm at Machu Picchu. Isn't this just so beautiful? I'm here by myself, and I used to do a ton of solo traveling. I'm telling you, it's the best. If you could ever do a solo trip somewhere, it is such a good way to get to know yourself better. But I came here to feel something, you know what I mean? And I definitely have. I've done shaman ceremonies that were like 10 years worth of therapy. It was wild. I've seen a lot of llamas, and the people here are so kind. I feel very safe here. It's a little sad that I had to leave my country to feel safe, but that will get better eventually. And I am dying for some Trader Joe's rolled chili lime chips. But other than that, I am so content. Still haven't been kissed yet, but I'm holding out hope. And most of all, you know, this trip has me feeling like I'm my own best friend again. Mm. And that is the best feeling in the world. And I hope that you feel that way about yourself, too.
Mm. Okay. Dylan's going to go on and on. Machu Picchu. Dylan feels safe in Machu Picchu, but not in our country. You know what? I'm not going to entirely disagree with Dylan Mulvaney on this one. I do think that this entire story blew up in Dylan's face. It blew up in Bud Light's face. And it's about to blow up in some ways come 2024 in the Democrats' face, in that you can only push people so far, right? Like at some point we're like, okay, enough is enough. We're a pretty simpatico group of people. I think that Americans are a little bit live and let live. But, you know, when you start shoving it down our throat or making us drink it effectively with your beer, well, then it becomes a whole other thing. And that's the point that we have reached in society. So Dylan is impersonating a teenage girl, complete with the little braids, right? Talking about, oh, if I could just get a kiss. And Dylan is channeling that teenage girl audience, which somehow some of these brands think is really worthwhile. Did you hear the shout out to Trader Joe's? It kind of made me wonder if that was a sponsored segment. Seems as everything's for sale, right? So good to see you all here. By the way, this is a live program, a live edition of the Trish Regan Show. I didn't even give you any warning. I just kind of showed up here. So I apologize for that. In fact, I'm going to send my producer a note right now because we want to make sure that some of you do actually know that we are here, that we are live. And I am looking at all of your comments right now. I love this format. It's a totally different format. And I think it really is the future. And we got word today that Tucker Carlson is maybe doing something kind of similar, albeit on Twitter. And I suspect, I suspect that he's going to do quite well with that, although I have some thoughts that I want to share with you, kind of a don't put all your eggs in one basket sort of idea. Anyway, you know, we hope that Twitter's going to be around for a very, very long time. But one of the things that this entire ordeal I have been through in terms of Fox, et cetera, and trying to go out here on my own and talk to you guys one-to-one is that you really do want to own your audience and that you want to be able to communicate directly with them. So it's why I appreciate you guys subscribing to this channel. If you haven't, make sure you do. It's why I appreciate you. And I'm going to put it in here again. I'm going to put in my website why I appreciate you guys actually going to the website and signing up for my newsletter so that I can communicate with you directly there. And it all helps. So we'll talk about Tucker in just a little bit. But before we do, with all this sort of trans insanity that's going on, I mean, don't get me wrong. I feel for these people. I have tremendous empathy. I cannot imagine what it must be like to really feel as though you're trapped in the wrong body. But then there's like the whole other level stuff where it's not even that you want to be a woman. You just actually want to be a man and look really masculine, complete with the facial hair, while simultaneously feminine. And then it, like, I don't even know what to quite say about this one.
Prime Day on Amazon, so why not see if Maybelline has any deals going on? And look at that. Super Stay Vinyl Ink is 30% off, and my favorite colors are in stock and ready to ship. My Amazon order arrived the next day, and here I am filming a makeup review. And baby, check out this color and shine. It's so comfortable, and it will not budge or smudge for up to 16 hours. Let me know what you think, and shop Maybelline Prime Deals for 30% off right now.
Wow, that really makes me want to wear a Maybelline. Not, if you've watched the show before, you know I've addressed the Maybelline thing because Dylan Mulvaney was also wearing Maybelline and advertising Maybelline. And yours truly used to wear Maybelline a lot up until then. Because to me, this is actually an insult to women. And I'm somewhat offended by the constant barrage of sort of, well, you know, men can do this too. You know, when I was a kid, my parents bought me this t-shirt, which said anything boys can do, girls can do better. Not a great t-shirt, by the way. I don't agree with it in the sense that I'm a big believer in everybody is an individual and boys are great and girls are great and we all need to accept that. But what they were trying to teach me was, you know what, Trish, you can do anything. And don't let anybody ever say, because you're a girl, you can't do something. I mean, within limitations, right? I wasn't actually going to beat the boys in a track race. But now it's like the boys are wearing the t-shirts that say anything girls can do, boys can do better. I mean, you get where my parents were coming from, right? I was a kid in the 70s and it was the women's lib movement and they wanted to make sure that I was empowered and then I knew that I could do anything. And now we've kind of regressed full circle. We've come around and around and now the boys want to feel like they can do anything that we can do, and they can do it better. Whether it's wearing makeup or whether it's competing in Miss Universe. Check this out. This is Miss Netherlands. Miss Netherlands 2023, who will be going on to compete in Miss Universe. Now, what's interesting about this and what I will credit Miss Netherlands with, who originally was not a Miss, is that this particular Miss Netherlands actually went through the full-on operation. Again, I cannot imagine. I mean, I think it must be just horrible, horrific, right, to ever have to be in that position where you're doing something like that. But Miss Netherlands, I think Miss Netherlands' name is like Ricky something, felt that Miss Netherlands needed to be female and went through the entire transition. So at least Miss Netherlands has that going for her, right? But if you consider some of the other pageant contestants that have tried to enter recently, and they had this experience actually in none other than New Hampshire, my home state. You're talking to a former Miss New Hampshire right now, where somebody who identified, you know, that week, that day, as a female, but hadn't gotten the operation, competed in a local pageant and actually won. So I don't know what the upshot of the entire thing was. I'll have to check in with some of my pageant friends. But I can tell you this. Back in my day, I always thought it was the funniest thing in the world. They actually had something in the contract that said, you have to admit that you sign this legally. you were born female, that you had always been female. And this is like 30 years ago. And I thought to myself at the time, what are they talking about? I mean, how absolutely insane. What are you telling me? Like somebody who wasn't born female is going to compete in a Miss America pageant? Turns out that's exactly what they were worried about. So they were ahead of their times. I can say they saw this one coming, did they not? Anyway, they've now since amended the rules as of this year, and both Miss Universe and Miss America will allow females to compete, which means you actually have to have the body part. So I consider that progress, right? I mean, come on. I mean, the idea that you can still have all the parts of a man and somehow win all the races and the pageants. You know, I guess they're the ones that need the t-shirts. Anything girls can do, boys can do better. Please. You know what? We just all need to be kind of a little bit more accepting of ourselves, right? The Dylan Mulvaney thing. Look, I think that Bud Light had no idea quite what was coming. Bud Light, as you well know, has suffered extraordinarily, nearly $30 billion lost in shareholder value since this whole ordeal unfolded. And I think they're going to continue to lose ground with multiple brands, right? It's not just Bud Light, but Budweiser. And the rest, they've got a zillion brands, by the way. Consider what you're drinking before you drink. Same thing with Maybelline. Although Maybelline is not experiencing, and this is very interesting, the same kind of downside in their stock price. It's owned by a company called L'Oreal, which has a ton of makeup brands out of France. It's traded here in the U.S., and I was looking at the stock price, and really, it's just been up, up, up for the last 6 months, including in the last several days since this news has come out, including since Dylan Mulvaney did that little spot as an influencer with L'Oreal. So it's not affecting the makeup brand. And hey, maybe it's because the assumption is more men are going to wear makeup and that'll be good for Maybelline, which is good for L'Oreal. I don't know. Or maybe more teenage girls are interested in how Dylan Mulvaney does makeup than how a teenage girl would, or even a 25-year-old girl. You got me. But this is a really sort of strange time. It's spilled over to the rest of the society, our society, including even, believe it or not, the military. I've shown you guys the picture of the transgender who's trying to recruit for the Navy on Twitter. Sorry, not Twitter. TikTok. Of course, TikTok, right? The TikTok owned by the Chinese. That's one way to make sure that you kind of depress our military efforts, I'd say. So anyway, the military can't get anyone, like anyone. And recruitment has fallen to an all-time low. Patriotism, as you've seen, we've talked about these numbers, has fallen to an all-time low. So it's no wonder that they're struggling the way that they are. And so consequently, now they've been out trying to recruit even transgenders. I mean, it's just a little weird, like just a little weird and a little offensive. It all comes at a time when Joe Biden is calling up reserves, 3,000 of them, in fact. They have not been told where they're going. This story has not gotten like any play anywhere. And it's a little surprising because to me, it kind of seems like a big story. And yet there's very, very little out there in the media about it. But they've been underwater. I mean, you consider our military right now. I want to point out the statistic. We have at present 291 Navy ships. We're supposed to have 371. Like, we don't even have enough ships, let alone people to populate the ships. The Air Force is at a record low in terms of its recruitment. And yet we're living in a time where guys, gals, whatever you want to call them, like Austin Phillips, are out there.
Nashville champion in the house. It's all Austin!
Strange times. Indeed. Indeed. Look, you know, Joe Biden, I think it's fair to say, has thus far proved to be pretty devastating for the U.S. economy, for culture, for our international security, considering what's going on with Taiwan and China, considering what's going on overseas with Ukraine, Russia. And it kind of all comes back to whether or not the guy can do the job. I mean, I don't think he can. I think that's quite obvious. He's frankly too old, and I'm not an ageist, but you know, there comes a point where you're going to say, okay, enough, and call it a day. When you can't get up the stairs, and it happened again, when you can't get up the stairs on Air Force One, when you can't make it to the dinner at night because you're too tired, when you're having to take multiple days off, when you can't, your staff doesn't even know how you're going to possibly endure a campaign schedule, that's when, yeah, maybe it's time to retire, buddy. I mean, you've been doing it for 50 years. But I don't know, is the money that good? I always wonder how these politicians make any money. I mean, he had a book. I guess you get some there. And then, of course, he had his family. And that gets us back to this entire issue of Burisma. It gets us back to the cocaine in the White House that nobody can seem to figure out, you know, where the heck that one came from. And nobody's willing to actually ask the tough questions on that. You better believe if the tables were turned and that was Donald Trump in the White House, you know how fast they'd be going after his kids. And I'm not saying that it was, you know, anything to do with any member of the Biden family. We just happen to know that somebody has a pretty challenged history on that front and is in and out of the White House. I don't know how that Secret Service cannot actually prevent drugs from coming into the White House. I mean, it's mind-boggling. I've been to the White House. I told you guys this. I've been many times, and every single time, they run a pretty serious background check on you, and you go through all kinds of machines, including x-rays. They have all kinds of wands to go over your stuff. They've got all sorts of dogs, German Shepherds, big ones. You know, I just have a little one, little tiny Maltese, big German Shepherds that are there to sniff you and your belongings. So how the heck does cocaine get into the White House? And then how is it possible that you don't have any fingerprints at all? I'm sorry, but that story's not over for me. So much of this is not over. But he just thinks, guess what? You know, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you $39 billion. 800,000 Americans will benefit from this $39 billion. And again, I'll just go back to the Supreme Court ruling 2 weeks ago. King Biden is not supposed to be able to do this. And so it really is a giant F you. All right, I want to talk about my former colleague over at Fox. That would be Tucker Carlson.
Yesterday, when the Wall Street Journal ran a long expose about kiddie porn on...
You know, and families across the country...
Yesterday, when the Wall Street Journal ran a long expose about kiddie porn on...
Oh, dear. I didn't realize he was actually going to say those words. Anyway, Tucker Carlson apparently has a whole new plan to take on the media, and it involves Twitter. So he's setting up, allegedly, this is per the Wall Street Journal, reportedly, and, you know, the Wall Street Journal is owned by Rupert Murdoch, so you have to be thoughtful about everything that they're putting out there. This is not just a simple story about Tucker's grand plans for a media company. I suspect there's an ulterior motive here. They want to leak the news or whatever it may be. But allegedly, he's setting up a media company and he's going to be on Twitter. I mean, I kind of assume that had already happened because he's on Twitter and he has people working for him. So he's got a media company. Maybe he's just not making any money at it yet. And so anyway, the Wall Street Journal, owned by Rupert Murdoch, who fired Tucker and a whole lot of other people, including yours truly. Well, Rupert's paper, the Wall Street Journal, is doing this big story. So I would only say we got to kind of ask why. I think it's wonderful. I was pretty sure that Tucker Carlson would do that. I think a lot of independently minded folks now have realized in the media space that you can't be independent when you're working at one of those major networks. There's just no way, no how, because you're working for somebody else, period. And so many of us have learned that really this is the only way to go. It really is, because it gives you that autonomy. It gives you the independence. And I think you get a lot of big personalities probably in this space that want that kind of ownership over their own content, their own ideas, etc. So I applaud him for doing this. One of the things that struck me, however, is interesting is that the company is allegedly going to be, reportedly going to be on just Twitter, which I don't know. Like, I think he could do a little more than Twitter. I hope Twitter is around forever. I'm on Twitter, by the way, at Trish_Regan. If you want to follow me, I hope Twitter stays for a very, very long time. However, what Tucker will need to do, and what I'm sure he already knows, frankly, like he was way, way more astute on this than I ever dreamed of being. It's been sort of ground up learning for me. But don't forget, he built the website, The Daily Caller. He built it with his former college roommate. So they understand, if you would, the digital media space in a really, really savvy way. But so it's going to be on Twitter. And that's reportedly where that will exist. Problem becomes, right, what would happen in the event that Twitter gets shut down? I think that he has some assurance there that his message will get out. And he's got the top guy there, Elon, assuring him of that. So he doesn't have to worry about the algorithms, etc. But still, his success would be highly tied, of course, to Twitter. So I suspect there'll be other measures that they take place. I mean, for example, I think you're going to have to pay a fee in order to watch, which means he gets your name, your credit card, or all that kind of thing. And so maybe that enables him and helps him to be able to own the audience. Again, it is a smart move. I think he probably has things in his contract that make it difficult for him to do other stuff. We had a guy who wrote a bio on him recently on the show, and he said exactly that, that was sort of the one loophole in the contract. And so he was going to use this, and that sounds like exactly what he's doing. So we wish him well, because look, you need a lot of people in this space. You need a lot of independent thinkers. I don't always agree with him, but I often do. And I want to make sure that regardless, frankly, of whether I agree with someone or I completely disagree, that they still have a platform to speak. That is what is so critical, because that is what has been getting cramped, shut down over and over and over again. Anyway, like I said, it's really good to see all of you here today. I want to once again give a shout out to our wonderful friends over at Legacy Precious Metals, the sponsor of the Trish Regan Show from the very, very beginning. As I said, you know, we get a lot of inflation, $39 billion. They're still printing. They're going to take every chance they can to give out as much as they can. And they're going to say it doesn't matter because we're sort of like the banker in Monopoly. We print the money and therefore we can distribute as such. Unless, of course, you get a problem like inflation, which is what we have seen. Yes, it's been coming down, but still, when you look at the year-over-year numbers, they're significant, and those are over the previous year and the previous year. So I would say it's important. It's always important to consider all your options when you're investing. And when you do, give my friends over at Legacy Precious Metals a call, legacypminvestments.com. Charles Thorngren was just on the show maybe about a week ago, and a wonderful, very interesting interview. I encourage you to go and listen to it. He'll be back. I think we've got him on sometime next week. So you hear again from him. If I can do it live, it'd be great because you guys could ask him questions too. Anyway, like I said, always good to see you. I want to go out and just look at some of your comments. Willie, great to see you. I love that you said support independent journalists. It is. I mean, there's something about not having to be beholden, right, to anyone other than your audience. But I'm not even, I mean, guys, I love you, but you know you're always going to hear the truth, even when you don't like it from me. And we don't always agree. I mean, hopefully we agree like 9 out of 10 times. But I will always tell you when I have concerns. I mean, I'm well on record for that. And to me, that independence is just kind of all I can have. And so when you're working in a big corporate environment where there's a lot at stake in terms of advertisers, or there's a lot at stake in terms of internal politics, then you can't really be yourself entirely. And so I think the future for sure is going to be more and more independence. And those independents, those are the creators of the content. In this kind of scenario, it really is the content that rules. And it is the content, because by the way, it's not even all the bells and whistles. You don't have a bunch of graphics on this set right now with me. We don't have a bunch of whiz bang in terms of videos, etc. We just have me and you talking. So it's kind of simple. And it really kind of highlights the importance of the content itself, right? The thoughts themselves. Anyway, aloha to James. I guess you're joining us from Hawaii, I'm guessing. Anyway, Willie, again, thank you for that. And Mark, good to see you. Yeah, we'll see what Rupert Murdoch decides to do. It's really just so many. I'm seeing a lot of people here that I haven't even seen before. So if you're just joining us, please do me the favor of subscribing. Give it a thumbs up. Share. It all helps. We're doing really well. Oh, wow. I mean, we just have so many people tuning in right now. We're over 80,000. It's amazing. In like 90 days, I think I was like 24,000 90 days ago. So it's wonderful to see. We're seeing a similar story right there on Facebook. So I'm just loving it. I want to go to John, who says Secret Service narrowed it down to 500 people. My question is, how do 500 people manage to go through the White House on the 4th of July weekend, especially if it's a secure area? I think it's a fair question, John. My sort of, you know, gut reaction to this is that it probably isn't 500 people. I mean, granted, there could have been a lot of tours because, you know, all the staff wants to bring their family in. But even if your staff bringing the family in, you still have to go through a security process. I mean, I've been there to interview the president of the United States, and I still got to go through a whole lot of security. And the same with every member of my team, from the makeup artist to the producer to the camera people. They've got to go through all of these background checks. So 500 people coming into the White House is a lot. I can maybe understand that it's kind of a cool 4th of July thing to do, and thus they were kind of flooded with traffic in terms of the employees wanting to bring their families. But still, like, can we not keep the White House secure, guys? Really? I mean, I know the military's hurting. We were just talking about that. We know they're hurting. But this is one that kind of seems like a no-brainer. No-brainer, indeed. Again, love seeing you all. Jack, thank you for subscribing. Great to see that. The other thing I would just tell you all to do, and in fact, oh, I don't have the link, so I can't do it right here live, but I will put it in the show notes. I'm going to give you the link to my Apple podcast. It's also on Spotify. So if you listen to Spotify, everything is free. This, of course, is live, so we're all talking in live, real time. But if you can't join the live show on video, whether it be on Facebook or on YouTube, then do me the favor of going over and making sure, do this anyway, by the way, because it just helps the algorithms. Go over to Apple Podcasts and subscribe to the podcast. Follow the podcast. If you do that, it just helps. And then, hey, you know, if you can, do the 5-star things. 5 stars, 5 stars only, right? Anyway, always good to see you guys. I'm going to check in with you a bit over the weekend because there's still more to talk about. I get a lot of questions on this Burisma stuff. I get a lot of questions on the cocaine in the White House stuff. And there will be, I promise, more developments. Probably not good news for Biden. Anyway, have a wonderful Friday evening, and I'll see you tomorrow.